It's definitely good to be with you today and share in God's Word and praise as we sing praises to His holy and exalted name, and as we bowed our heads together collectively and offered that our heart to God. It's definitely been a blessing already to be together and to partake of the Lord's Supper as well. This morning's lesson comes from a statement. I can't remember if it was Jan or if it was Delma that said this after I said to them, after the booth was done and they were getting ready to leave, "Thanks for all your help." And the response from one of them was, "We didn't do much." And I've been thinking about that. I've been stewing on that ever since. I want to reaffirm that any effort that we put forth to evangelize is something. And sometimes it's a lot more than others are doing themselves. And so whether you're sitting behind and maybe not in the forefront, the ones talking and communicating with people, but you are ready and you are prepared to take down names, to sign people up for a Bible study or not, all are needed and all are valued. And I don't remember which one of you said that, but it's got me thinking that all of us have a part to play in evangelism and in the kingdom of God. And I use that word play very loosely. Because again, when I talk about play, you think about games or you think it's not that important. It is of great importance. And I'm so grateful for the response that we did have by all of those that did help in the booth. So much so, as I told the elders, and I've already stated a couple of times, we're going to have to change it up next year. We just had way too many people in the booth at one time. And so what a great problem to have. And all, I just appreciate so much the efforts that you put forth. And so I want to talk about bearing fruit in older age. And I had up on the board to begin with in old age, and I'm glad I caught that. I've gotten myself in trouble a couple of times with that. I remember down in Burksville one time preaching a lesson like this, and I took a couple of pictures of some of the older ones in the group, and I had bearing fruit in old age, and as you can imagine, that caused some problems with some of the older generation there, because in their minds they were still 20. So understand, if I use old age this morning, I'm meaning older age. It's all relevant, isn't it? You talk, as I mentioned before, I preached on this some time ago, and I said, you ask my kids who's old, they're going to say mom and dad. And if Dave Garvin, if I'm talking with him and I say I'm old, he's going to say you're a spring chicken. So it's all a matter of who you're talking with. But as most of us know, we're working. Most of you have secular jobs. You're working. You're counting the days down till you retire. No, Brother Ben's doing that right now. If you ask him how many days he has left, I'm sure he can tell you to the dot how many hours and days he has left before he retires. We spend years saving and planning and pinching our money and watching where it goes in hopes that someday we'll be able to have some free time to pursue the interests that we have in our life. I remember talking to one individual that was getting ready to retire, and I asked them, "What are you going to do in your retirement years?" And he said that he was going to travel and eat exotic foods. That's what he was living his life for. And he has done that, some pretty crazy foods. But that's what he is pinched and scraped for, that as he retired, he was able to travel and eat some of the finest foods that this world has to offer. Some of us have different plans. We have different desires with retirement years. But I want to stop and ask a question. This idea of retirement and connecting that with the work of God and being part of God's kingdom, can we do that? Is that a mindset that we can have when it comes to our relationship with God and our role in the church? I think all of us understand and appreciate that there are infirmities of health that keep us and hinder us from doing the work of God. I know Sister Betty was wanting to help in the booth as well, and she fell and twisted her ankle, and she wasn't able to help with the booth. There are others that said they would have loved to. I know Lynn's eyes, she had some surgery done. There are a lot of different ailments of health that catch us in our older age. Right? That's the norm. It happens. But I want to stop and have all of us ask the question this morning, is it the infirmities of health that cause us from being productive in God's kingdom? Or could it be that we've just become spiritually lazy? Now that's something for us all to think about. As I mentioned this morning, as you see on the board, there is predominantly an age group that is 50 plus on there. But this is very much a lesson that can hit us all. All of us are to bear fruit. But I want us to understand and appreciate when it comes to older years, there's no room in God's kingdom for retirement. That comes later, if we want to use it in that way. And oh, how glorious it will be to be in heaven and be able to worship God for all eternity. Let's go to our text this morning in Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And just look this morning at some biblical examples of those who were active in their older years. And then this evening we're going to come back and we're going to gather together and look at some ideas and some suggestions of how the older generation can be more active in the service of God, and in particular, in a local congregation. We have done a great injustice here in the United States of America. We don't appreciate the older generation like other generations do, other groups do in other countries. Older people are revered and they're held in high esteems. Their input is sought and valued and often used, not so much so in the society that we live in. And I hope at Greenwood we can foster an appreciation for the older generation and help them to realize that they are still very much needed in the service of God. And that starts with our attitude as a younger generation. Do we truly demonstrate that we value the older in this group? When you're struggling with something in your life, do you go and talk to them and get their advice? Even with the smallest of things. In Psalm 92, it teaches us much about this idea of flourishing as a righteous individual. And there's no way that we can flourish with God until we appreciate this idea of righteousness and where we need to be in our relationship with God. And so Psalm 92 starts out this way in verse 12. The righteous shall flourish. And it says and gives us some pictures to put in our mind. Like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You know, we think about that. To us, this might not hit us very hard. We live in Indiana. But those of you that have traveled to Florida or Hawaii, you've seen these, you get these mental pictures of these palm trees and how beautiful and lush they are. You stand underneath them and you receive the shade from the hot sun. They are in bloom, although it's very hot. They are green and they are lush. Cedars of Lebanon. To us, it might not mean a whole great deal. I should have put some pictures up as I did some research on this and looked at some of the pictures of these cedars. Huge, massive trees. Full of life. You see, although we advance in years, inwardly, we can be as green and ripe as somebody else who's younger than us, spiritually speaking. You are very much needed. It goes on to teach us in verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. Again, this close relationship with God and the blossoming that takes place. And then in verse 14, it says this, the very idea where this lesson comes from, they shall still bear fruit in old age. Now, Psalm uses old here. I'm using older. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The idea there is they shall be full of sap. Working with wood myself, I've come to appreciate that while the sap is still in the tree, it is full of life. The sap brings life. And so there's a descriptive picture here given to us In old age, we can still have the sap, the life, the vitality inside us. And flourishing. The idea is it's green here. Psalm here does a great job illustrating the life and the service that the older person still can and needs to be offering. Where do you sit in that as an older person? Do you really feel like you had a lot to give still? Or has this generation made you feel like there's not much for you to offer? I'm sad that that's what the generation has given you, but there's repentance that is needed on your part. Who cares what the world says? What does God say? What does God say? That's what's truly important. And He teaches us time and time again that all are needed in the kingdom of God, and all are expected to bear fruit. So let's look for just a few moments at some Bible characters this morning that were advanced in years, but still had much to offer in the service of God. And I hope this morning as we look at these six or seven individuals very quickly this morning, that you'll come to appreciate that all of these, not all of them, most of them, were 80 years or older performing these acts. And my hope and desire is, at the conclusion of a lesson like this, is that you might put in your mind that I need to get busy. It's not time for me to kick up spiritually like I would with from my physical job. Recently, I believe it was Greg, I got to know Greg a little bit more in the booth, and somebody asked him, "What's your dad doing now?" And he said he's sitting in his recliner chair. I believe that's what it was. And you can see the imprint of his head in his recliner chair. You know, when we're done working, you put in years and years of service. That you want to sit back. You want to fish. You want to relax. See grandchildren. You don't want to be on a time schedule. But what about the service of the Lord? Does that hurt when you retire? Is your service to God affected when you retire from your physical job? It's something for us to think about, isn't it? Those of us that are younger, that haven't hit that age yet, it's something for us to think about and put in our minds now. Well, let's think about Moses and Aaron for just a second. In Exodus chapter 7, let's turn over there this morning for just a moment. I wish we could go through and recount and read all of what happens here. I think it would impress upon us the importance of this idea and the age of these two men here. Moses and Aaron, two that are held in high esteem in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and probably by the majority of us who are here this morning. Great and valuable lessons have been learned at the feet of Moses and Aaron. A lot of great accomplishments. They were chosen to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and suffered for the choices that they made. Remember Moses, he was one that had so much of the benefits that the kingdom had to offer in that day and time, but yet refused to give in to the pleasures of the flesh, choosing rather to suffer with God's people. And he suffered greatly, but also received much benefit from serving God as well. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7, it simply says this, "And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh." If I ask the question this morning, how many of you are over the age of 80? I dare say there would be a few hands that are raised. The majority of the hands would still be down where they are right now. Most of us are much younger than this. And what's interesting, as you look into Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10, you begin to realize as Moses speaks here, he's the writer of Psalm 90 and verse 10, they are past their allotted time. They're on borrowed years here. They're on borrowed years. And still very much active in the service of God. Let me ask you a question. When you think about your life and where you're at, and most of our hands would have been down where they were before I asked the question, very few would have had our hands raised, what is our reason, what is our excuse for not being more active in the service of God? You begin to appreciate Moses and Aaron when it's not just the exit of bondage that they lead God's people out of, but there is much difficulties that arise after the Exodus as well. And they still serve God. They still give their heart to God and to God's people. And also talk about Joshua and Caleb. In Joshua chapter 24, let's turn over there for just a second. In Joshua chapter 24, I'm going to read just a couple of verses there as well, and then jump down to Joshua chapter 14. But Joshua was given charge of leading the conquest of Canaan. And this was done in the last 30 years of his life. You do the numbers, you know that Joshua lived to around 110 years. So at this point in his life, he's somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 years old, leading this great conquest of Canaan. In Joshua chapter 24 and in verse 29, this is what's recorded for us. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. Now we might ask the question, how many of us are going to live 110 years? Most of us probably won't. Most of us will probably pass from the earth long before we reach the age of 100. And so we might look at that and say, well, he had more years than most. Well, that is probably the case. But what's not so important is not how many years we have, but what we do with the years that we do have, right? That's what's of vital importance. Joshua used his life in service to God. What about Caleb? Turn back to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. There's several verses that I want to read here and help us to understand and appreciate this morning as well that Caleb was very much involved in this conquest as well. And he was in his 80s, I remember correctly, 85 years old. And so here you have these two aged men leading this great conquest of Canaan. What does that say to us? What does that say to you as an older man? You're needed, doesn't it? Let's read a couple of verses here. Joshua chapter 14, and in verse 6, it says this. Now the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Canaanite, and said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh, Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh, Bethir, to spy out the land. And I brought back a word to him as it was my heart, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 40 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, here I am this day, 85 years old. And he goes on to say in verse 11, as yet, and I love this, as yet I am as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me. Just my strength was then, so now my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now you read that and you think, is he telling the truth? Does he really feel, does his physical body still have the structure that it did 40 years prior to this? How could he make a statement like this, that is he's as strong now as he was then? Well, we know it can't mean the body. We know that. But mentally, this is where he was at. He was ready to go in, to go out. He was ready to perform whatever task God had for him. He wasn't going to use his age as an excuse for not doing what God expected him to do. And we know the end of it, right? The conquest was accomplished. Joshua and Caleb leading the way. What about Daniel? We think about Daniel. He served God from his youth. We know this. The scriptures teach this for us. Almost 70 years he served God with all his heart. He was well over 80 when he served as one of the three governors in the land at that time. And we know in Daniel chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3 that this is true. We know that others became very jealous of Daniel and the position that he held. And we know as this illustration progresses in Daniel chapter 6 and verses 4 through 27, at an old age he was thrown into the lion's den. And as you get to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28, we find that he's living in a time period where Darius and Cyrus were reigning. Crooked and wicked times. But you know what's interesting to me? When you look and you begin to appreciate that in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28, even though living in that day and in that time, at an old age, he prospered. He prospered. What does that say about you, about me? Do we live in the greatest of times right now? Turn on the news and they paint an awful picture for us, doesn't it? No matter what time we are living in, no matter what society we are in, no matter what age we are at in our life, we can all still prosper for the Lord if we but give the Lord our all. These are just some of the lessons that we learn from these biblical characters. Zechariah and Elizabeth. We know in Luke chapter 1 and verse 7, they are both advanced in years, but they are still serving in the temple. And eventually we know that Elizabeth gives birth to John, a pivotal character in the Old Testament and laying the foundation for the Lord. Simeon and Anna are also listed in Luke chapter 2 as serving in the temple. And we know that these two elderly people were present at the circumcision of our Lord. Anna herself was 84 years old, still serving God with all her heart, and doing so with prayer and fasting. One more individual that we need to contemplate. Look into the book of Philemon. That's a book that we don't often read and study much from. Hopefully we'll change that. But in Philemon chapter 1, Philemon in verse 9, there's a powerful point that is made there for us this morning. It says this, "Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Paul refers to himself here how? As the aged. We know Paul encountered hardships in his life. We know even at the writing of this letter that he was facing hardships. We know that he spent time in prison. And we know at the writing of Philemon here that he is penning Ephesians and Colossians and other books as well. He is busy for the Lord, even though he has advanced in years. And after being set free from prison at an old age, traveling and visiting and encouraging local congregations, this is what he was about. You see, there are many examples that we can look at. We've just touched a few this morning. The Bible is filled with example after example after example of those that use the golden years. And I believe some young man came up with that term, the golden years, to serve the Lord with all their heart. We still, and you can, bear fruit in your older age. So tonight, this afternoon, I want you to think about tonight's lesson. How can you still be of value to God? Quit listening to those younger people around you, society that we live in, that tells you that you need to stay inside and out of the sun, don't exert yourself, you have nothing to offer. I want you to think about how you can serve God today. What benefit can you be to a local congregation? And as we come back tonight and we talk about some of these principles, I hope there's a whole bunch that we don't talk about that you've thought about this afternoon. Ways that you can serve God and the local congregation here. I'm tired of the older generation feeling like they are no longer needed. Or whatever effort they put forth doesn't seem to be of any merit or any value. Delma and Jan, you were needed at that booth. And I'm grateful that you were sitting behind that table waiting to take names. We are all needed and all valued in a local congregation. And shame on us if we make somebody feel like they're not of value. Grow your faith. I know there were many that stepped out and did things in that fair that was well beyond their comfort zone. And I'm grateful for those efforts. The Lord is grateful for the efforts. I know the elders are grateful for the efforts that you put forth. Keep growing your faith. Don't give up. There's no room for retirement when it comes to God's kingdom. Thank you for listening this morning. Is there anybody who is here this morning that is not right with God, that's not yet claimed Him as your Lord? I know what society says. The society wants a Savior, but they don't want a King. They don't want somebody telling them how they need to live their life. But the fact and reality of it is, until we're ready to own Jesus, not only as our Savior, but as our King and our Lord, then we are not ready to come to Him. That is very much needed. He's given us a book, a roadmap to get to heaven. And if you're going to come and you're going to confess the name of Jesus Christ and you're going to desire to be baptized and repent of your sins this morning, change the direction you're going in, you have to understand there is a book that's given to you and God expects you to follow it. Are you ready to do that this morning? I hope and pray that you are. I hope and pray that you'll have the courage to step out into the aisle and come to the front and confess the name of Jesus Christ as God's only begotten Son. Hope and pray that you'll have courage to do that. If you don't feel like doing that, raise your hand. I will come to you. But don't wait another minute to make your life right with Him. And if you're here and you're a child of God and you've not been doing what you need to do, and you've brought sin and reproach upon God's people, it's time for you to ask God for forgiveness as well. If you'd like us to pray with you, we will do so with tender and humble hearts this morning. knowing that we ourselves have found ourselves caught by the snare of the devil. And we want to help. But the choice is yours. Use this time wisely and do what God expects you to do. Together as we stand and sing, test and examine and know yourself. We can help you in any way. Come to the front while we stand.